This is Sean Tucker, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by Cody Carpentier. And Cody, it's a big day, dude. Today's the day we got to turn in our mock drafts for the huddle report for the scoring competition. And I woke up today to a reminder that I sent myself, I guess, last year. Maybe it was the day after the draft from that draft house. And where were we last year? Oh, in
Detroit,
where I didn't do as well as I thought that I should have done. And so I sent myself a reminder for this morning at 7 a.m. It says, don't fall into late traps for your mock draft and default to what you've learned through the process and what you've had conviction about. So with that being said, I do have conviction on certain spots and certain players and what certain teams are doing. I'm trying not to fall into any late traps, and I have my mock put together now, and through the course of the day I'll certainly be monitoring for news or anything like that, any big trades. Like, this thing could get completely blown up, but I think I have it, and I think messing with it could be a swindle. So we're going to go through it, and maybe you can talk me off of some of these picks. Just for a quick programming note and a quick reminder, Cody and I will have both of our mock drafts up. The rules of the competition say that we have to have them up by midnight Eastern on Roster Watch. So you can go check those out over there, see if it changes from what we talk about now, see if I swindle myself with last-minute changes like I swore that I wouldn't do. Mike Band will also have his posted up over there from NFL Next Gen Stats and Combine IQ, Draft IQ. That'll go up. He's on the West Coast, so hopefully not too late. I told him, man, I said, "Man, dude, if I have an early flight tomorrow, so if you text me and have me put it up, man, and you don't hear back, you need to call me and make sure and wake me up," because we've had that issue with him before. He waits till right at the end. So there's that, and then there's also on Thursday. So Thursday and Friday, if you want to watch our draft coverage, you can go to rosterwatch.com. It'll be linked there. We're going to be with the player profiler boys down there at the nice big draft mansion in Florida. Cody and I will be on one of the NFL desks there, and we're going to have pick by pick analysis for every pick of the draft, unless we stop in round seven like we sometimes do. But you can find all that at rosterwatch.com. I'll have it linked, but no shows here on the channel from Cody and I, at least, for the rest of the week. But you will have content from us over at rosterwatch.com if you go and click there on the ticker to watch those videos. And we'd love to have you on with us as your kind of second screen as you're watching the draft. All right, Cody, you ready to get started on this thing? Tell me
where are we starting? Pick four?
We can. So it goes Cam Ward to the Titans, Travis Hunter to the Browns, Abdul Carter to the Giants, Will Campbell to the Patriots. And then I think pick five is where it starts.
You know what? No, I'm going to stop it. I'm going to stop it, and I'm going to ask you this question, because the last time it felt like we were consensus, all three picks to consensus before, the day before, 2 days before, 3 days before, was the Mac Jones okie doke, right?
Remind me how that was a consensus.
It was Trevor Lawrence to Jacksonville. Was it San Fran taking Mac, and then Jets taking Zach Wilson, and then San Fran ended up taking
Trey Lance. And then Mac falls to 15 or whatever to the Patriots.
Yeah, and Justin Fields goes to like 10 or 11. So I know those are quarterbacks and stuff, but this is, viewed as what it's viewed as. Is there any chance in your heart of hearts that you think – I think the thing would be is if Abdul was number two, right, not Travis.
It could be. I just don't think that that's the case. Whenever you have Andrew Berry talking about him, saying like talking, invoking the name of Ohtani, and so they've thought a lot about this.
All right, deal.
Good. I mean, like
I just had to bring it up because like my brain just instantly when I just even opened up saying let's start at four, and they just went yeah, but, and so I had to ask it.
Okay. And I thought it was interesting in Charles Robinson's article he put out, like all the insiders are starting to put out their like draft nuggets and last minute things. And he was saying he can't completely rule out Shedeur Sanders still at three to the Giants. I'm just like, man, like I've completely ruled it out. But it's the draft, man. You never really know. But so at five, where do you think I go? Let's just do it like this. What would you pick?
I'm leaning towards Ashton Jeanty right now, fifth overall to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
That's where I'm going as well, and it feels like that's kind of become the consensus. Man, even McShay, who was talking about, you know, Tet McMillan being in consideration there, has even started to crawfish this thing and talk about Jeanty. So I think that it only makes more sense. We've litigated that here on the show about how the minute that we heard that it's going to be an offensive playmaker, you said to yourself, okay, well, who are the blue chip offensive playmakers that are going to be available? Like, oh yeah, Ashton Jeanty. And oh yeah, Schefter has said that Travis Etienne is going to be basically, he's known to be made available for in draft trades. So
he'll be drafted. He'll be traded on day three, almost assuredly, if they take Ashton Jeanty here.
Little bit concerned about the final mock drafts that dropped today from, was it both Schrager and McShay that put Kelvin Banks at six to the Raiders? No,
Schrager went Membu, and McShay went Banks.
McShay didn't even like Banks.
I know. That's the thing. So his write-up, he said, we're not going to share all of McShay's stuff because you got to go over to the McShay report and get it. But I'll read this one because we love Kelvin. He said, many rate Armand Membu higher, but Raiders GM John Spytek and part owner Tom Brady, who's very much involved in the decision, are big on culture. And Alex can speak to this, but Banks is one of the highest character players in the draft. He would immediately compete for the starting job at right tackle or guard. Colton Miller is at left tackle, entering the final year of his contract. So this pick would represent a short-term upgrade with a long-term flexibility built in.
You mentioned Spytek and you mentioned Spytek and Tom Brady. What do those two men have in common?
Michigan
men. They're Michiganders, as they call each other.
Is that a thing? They call each other that?
No. Well, people in Michigan, they're called Michiganders, right? I don't think that they call each other that.
They're not Michiganites?
I think they're Michiganders, though. I think
– wouldn't they just be Michigans? Because, like, if you're from Texas, you're a Texan. Like, wouldn't you just be a Michigan?
Let me just look it up. I think it's a Michigander.
Michigander sounds all right.
Yeah, a Michigander is an American. I don't know, dude. It's like it's somebody from somebody from Michigan is definitely a Michigander. I just looked it up. Okay, this is all to say that they're going to take Mason Graham.
I agree. The two players that have been like most discussed with most of these teams, you know, from four to. You know, 4 to 11 has been Mason Graham and Jalen Walker. Everybody loved both of them. So the idea to me that Mason Graham, defensive tackle, would fall through the top 10, you know, people have put him at 11 and stuff. And I'm just like, what are we doing? Like, this is the thing we talked about at the combine. Like, people are going to see him. But you got to remember, people in the building are fighting. And they're talking about it, and they're going to be like, put the tape back on. And you turn the tape back on, and they're going to go, oh, yeah, the guy looks small, but he don't play small. And it's just going to be what it is. So I like the fit there at six for obvious reasons and what we've talked about in prior weeks with Christian Wilkins and Crosby and Kuntz.
Where do you think I went at seven for the Jets?
Man, I feel like you would go Tyler Warren here.
I didn't. I went with Armand Membu here.
I love that.
It's like the fit is there. I know that there's all the talk about Glenn wanting to go with a defensive player. I can understand it, but I mean, you just look at the sports books and they have Armon Membu, they have his line set at 6.5. It's like, it's dialed in. It's dialed in there. And also I think that even though he's on the defensive side of the football, I think that he saw in Detroit how important it is to invest in the offensive line and to make sure that that's a dominant group and a gritty group. And you the Lions would love to have a guy like Membu.
Yeah.
You know, it seems so. That's where I went for the Jets. Okay. Next one up, eight. You know where I went with eight, with the Panthers. It's what I've thought the whole time, even before. Maybe it's always been in vogue, but I've thought this ever since having a conversation with somebody who is close to somebody on the team, mm-hmm. and that's Jalen Walker. Feels like they've had Jalen Walker circled this whole time.
Yes, I do think the Ted Earl McMillan thing still should have legs. Probably.
Are you seriously considering putting Ted there in your mock?
Correct. I am. I'm seriously considering it because, like I said, we've talked about this in a couple of different shows, but I get the idea that Carolina needs to go defense with every single pick because they've been focused so much on offense the last couple of years, and they should go defense in every pick but one. And the but one is a receiver. It should be a 57 with Noel or Higgins if they're there, or it should be right here. You know, even though I disagree with Ted Aroa, the idea that he's a first round top 10 guy, this would still be, I think, a proper selection here for the Panthers to go Ted. So I wouldn't rule this out. I think that one of the three directions this pick lands is either Jalen Walker, because it's been the chalkiest chalk of the chalk, or it's Ted. I don't know why the fan just turned on in here. That was crazy. Or it's Ted and or Mason Graham if Mason Graham falls.
Okay. I think putting Ted there in your mock is mock draft suicide. At number nine,
I'm gonna write that down.
Number nine, the Saints. Yeah, I have a lot of conviction about that. I think it's bad. They need deep. I don't know. Maybe it could be the one thing that differentiates you because everybody has Jalen Walker there. But to me, it feels like a layup. If Jalen Walker's there, he could easily go at six.
That's the thing. That's the thing. What's more likely, that Jalen Walker goes six or seven?
He could go seven,
and then if Mason Graham and Jalen Walker are both gone, then it's like, okay, do we go Membu or do we go Tet? And it's like, well, I think then you get that's your Tet win.
Well, what about Mike Hill?
Yeah. Production.
All right. So number nine, I have.
Wait, what'd you do at eight? You went Jalen, right?
Yeah. What do you think at nine?
The Saints.
Yeah.
Shamar Stewart.
No, Michael Williams.
Okay. That was one of the two options.
I feel like it's, I feel like that's going to almost kind of become a little more chalky. At first I thought this is an interesting pick here that I think could be a little bit different from what others are thinking. But then I think McShay and Schrager today in their final mocks both had Michael in this spot and both mentioned the Cam Jordan thing. So that's my and what the Cam Jordan thing is. It's like he I think he's gonna be 35.
Yeah, he's an old man now.
So you need somebody who's gonna. Man, you're having to rebuild. This is how you do it. I also will have something going on with the Saints a little bit later in this draft where they trade back up into the first round, but they get a real cornerstone. Like whenever you build, you want to build around these rebuild. You want to rebuild around these true cornerstone pieces.
All right, so we're at pick 10 with the Bears now. And
you're gonna start figuring out who's off the board, who's available.
Well, I know I got my sheet up. I'm tracking.
All right.
I think you're gonna go. Gosh, you're gonna go. I would go Kelvin Banks here. That's where I'm leaning right now. But I think you're gonna go Tyler Warren.
Yeah, I'm going Tyler Warren here. I just and it's a.
I'll
mix.
Tell you one thing. I'll tell you one thing. I know you can go on. Sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, but. They did. Somebody had I think Penn State posted it with the jersey fit thing. So they take like a picture of Tyler Warren, and then they have all the NFL jerseys they did like one of those like GIFs where it's like all 32 jerseys popped up on him, like a video. Yeah. And I'm very much of like the mental, for me personally, if I can see a guy in a jersey and it's like, man, it looks, I'll fall into that trap a little bit. The one jersey that I found all 32 that he looked the best in was the Niners. I was like, oh my gosh, wow. He would look so good in the Niners jersey.
Yeah. I think he'd look good in the Bears jersey too, though, man. I do. I think he could be the answer in the NFC North to the Sam Laporta stuff. A lot of 12 personnel that you would have that Ben Johnson there at his disposal. I have him falling in this draft, and I know Ooh. That Greg Gabriel is just such a old curmudgeon and a total boomer, but I do believe he still has sources within the Bears organization. He was the general manager there. I think he does have sources within that organization. And whenever he says that there's no way that Tyler Warren gets past the Bears, I've always remembered that. So I'm putting Tyler Warren here. And I think he would look great in a Bears uniform. Long flowing locks, gets to go play his twin uncle, Dan Campbell twice a year. All right. Next up, 49ers. I think you know where I'm going here.
I don't know if I do. Did you go Walter?
Yeah, Walter Nolan. And it just feels like here again, things coming full circle with the idea that he's probably the second best defensive tackle in the draft. And I just whenever I look at the depth chart for the San Francisco 49ers, and I realized like they've gotten incredibly, just notably thin at defensive. They have to take defensive line here. They have to.
Yeah.
And so you just start thinking, all right, well, is it going to be Walter Nolan? And look, I talked to somebody that's close with the Walter Nolan's family and close with I think he's Athletes First, close with those guys. And I said, where are they acting like he's going to go? And they said, well, they think he can go anywhere from 15 to 25, but he's going to go first round. And I guess 15, I guess is Atlanta. That could certainly be if he was available there, I could certainly see Atlanta taking him as he would be just like that, just slot him right in for Grady Jarrett. But I just think, man, you bring in Robert Saleh as your defensive coordinator. He cares so much about the defensive line. I mean, you're not going to bring him in and make him work with that group that they have right now.
Yeah.
So Walter Nolan's where I'm going at 11, 12 to the Cowboys. I think you probably can figure this out.
Receiver.
Yep.
McMillan.
Yep. Almost seems too obvious. We talked before about how we would really like to see Matthew Gould in there. But to me, the more I thought about it, I'm like, you know, Tet brings a different, skill level, as far as what he can do with his length and his size and stuff like that. A little bit of a, not that CeeDee Lamb and Matthew Golden are the same, but I do think that Tet and CeeDee Lamb do make for more of a slightly less redundant duo. I think that their styles play off one another better. So I'm gonna go with Tet McMillan here for the Cowboys. 13 is the
it's a tougher one, Dolphins.
Not for me.
Like I feel like you went Banks.
Yes, I did. Okay. I think if Banks is there, you have to smash that. You have to run up.
Yep. The but you're also sitting here with no corners off, right? I mean, technically Travis Hunter, but no, like, so both Jade and Will Johnson are here, and the Ramsey stuff sounds like Ramsey's going to be gone. It's like I could understand a Jade Barron here.
I just don't think that Jade Barron keeps Tua Tagovailoa from getting another concussion.
100%. I agree with you. I'm just saying I could see. So I think you're right with Kelvin Banks if he's there, but I'm just saying I could see.
With the way this board falls, dude, it's I kind of have these guys fall. I kind of have the corners falling.
I can tell. And we're at pick 14. They're still not off the
– Yeah. Okay, 14. I told you this one. You don't like it. But I'm sending Josh Simmons to the Colts.
Oh, you did it. I mean, you've been the tight end to the Colts for the whole time.
I think if Tyler Warren were there, I would do it. But there's a couple things to me with Colston Loveland, and I can't really say the stuff that they don't have the testing evals on him, because they clearly don't have testing evals on Simmons either.
Yeah, but they have GPS work and stuff.
Right. I also don't think if you're planning to move forward with Anthony Richardson, I think that Tyler Warren is the kind of tight end and the all around tight end that helps you more in the running game and stuff like that, who is going to be more conducive to success in that offense than a Colston Loveland, who's this, just a elite receiving option at the tight end position.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
They've needed a tight end bad, but I can't get out of my head that I feel like Ballard always drafts, whenever he drafts these players early, he always drafts them at premium positions. I think it's got to be the super blue chip of the blue, which I think that Tyler Warren is as compared to Colston Loveland. I know that Daniel Jeremiah has those two in the exact same tier, but I don't feel like everybody does. I certainly, when I was watching Michigan this year, I thought Colston Loveland was like great and super awesome. But did I look at him and say, that's a locked in top half of the first round NFL draft pick? No. And look, you know, granted the quarterback play was miserable at Michigan last year, but I mean, I look at Simmons. I'm like, this guy probably, I watched some more of him from before he got hurt. One of the probably is the number one tackle in the class if he stays healthy last season. He superior athlete. We don't have the verified testing numbers, but you know that Ballard loves these superior athletes at the key positions. And Braden Smith is at right tackle, but he's done after this year. He's also always been hurt. PFF doesn't grade him very highly. Not that that matters for too much, but you know, it's been an issue. They actually traded up last year, I think in the third round, to get was that Goncalves from the senior Gonclaves from the senior bowl?
Gonclaves from Pittsburgh.
Yeah. But you know, Ballard was saying that he could, you know, he's an athletic guy that they thought could play guard or tackle. So it's just like you can get Simmons, and if he, all the reports are that he's coming off a torn patellar tendon, but I don't think it's as big a deal for an offensive lineman as it would be for a receiver or anything like that. He's going to be fine.
Here's the thing I would say. I think they trade down if this is the pick.
Okay. Well, I'll still get points for it.
But I'm saying, like, if this is the target, I think they trade down. So like, I said the same thing I texted you is like, I like it, but my only combat would be, I don't think that this is something, and this is where my brain goes, is like Chris Ballard, we know is on the hot seat. He's been in the hot seat for 2 years, even though we like him. And like a left tackle coming off a patellar tear with some question marks in the locker room does not guarantee you anything during the season.
No, I mean, it's definitely, if you take into account that he feels like he's on the hot seat, it's, does he act like a guy that's on the hot seat?
Of course not. But he's on the hot seat. As much as we love him, I love him. I think he's one of the best in the league. I think he just made some mistakes as a quarterback, you know, going through the Wentz Rivers stuff. And
I just feel like the Colts at the very least are saying like, okay, we're getting a guy that's our future starter here, probably at right tackle, because Bernard Raimann's actually been good. So it's our future starter here, probably at right tackle, after we move on from Braden Smith, who's been a headache. And at the very least, we have a guy who, as we're bringing him on a little bit slowly, and we might not even have to in his rookie season, they have a need for swing tackle, and it's a premier position. And so I'm going with it, man. I think he's an uber talented player. I could see them trading back, though.
They've traded down 15 times and traded up 5 times in Ballard's tenure in the first couple of rounds.
I wonder who would trade up here to 14 to get ahead of the Falcons, though.
Somebody that wants to get ahead of the edge run.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Because all right, so 15 for the Falcons. Where do you think I'm going here?
Is this going to be a defensive line run or just defensive player run?
A little bit. Yep.
All right, let's go. I'll start with Mike Green to the Falcons at 15.
Yeah, man. To me, it just makes the most sense. I know that they could go defensive line here, but even our favorite Super Bowl winning GM, Terry Fontenot here, I think that even he is going to quit drafting for a 7-on-7 team and just say, I have to understand that the pass rush has been historically miserable. So let's go ahead and go get the guy that just had 18 sacks or whatever. And we've heard that they're not going to worry as much about the significant off-field allegations that to his credit, Mike Green, addressed
that on. Yeah.
Addressed and talked about at the combine. I think it's got to be edge rush. It's got to be production. When I think about edge rush, I think about production in this class. I think about Mike Green.
All right, halfway through here in 25 minutes, 16 overall, Arizona Cardinals. I'm gonna say, Shamar Stewart.
No, I sent them Kenneth Grant.
I like it.
Hey,
Dalvin Tomlinson and Calais. So, I mean, he's the future after, you know, next to Dalvin Tomlinson. He's a two-down guy.
I was just thinking about it, dude. How old is Calais Campbell? Is he like 40? Like
38.
Right now?
I think he's like 38, 39.
When's the last time that we saw the Arizona Cardinals with some just inside hellraiser? I think Gannon wants that.
I was going to say
they tried to do it with like Robert Nkemdiche.
No, yeah, but it didn't quite work though. Who was I can see the guy. It was like literally the year they went to the Super Bowl against the Steelers. The last time I think they had a respectable interior.
Yeah, man. I think it's Kenneth Grant here, dude. I think it's Kenneth Grant. Go with the athleticism. If you're Jonathan Gannon, just go with it. Do what Howie would do.
I think that's a good pick. I'm trying to think of who that damn D tackle was.
You're not going to think of it. Okay, 17 Bengals.
Well, Shamar Stewart. Then I'll go Shamar Stewart again.
Yeah, I mean it could be Shamar. I have Shamar Stewart falling here, but no, I went with Derek Harmon from Oregon.
Well, we've heard some stuff about him potentially falling. I don't really understand why. I don't know if that's injury or if it's off field or not. But
to me he brings the interior presence, and he also brings some rush juice. It's like you're getting a little bit of everything here to help on the defense that just needs a whole lot of help. He's a very solid player, man. I don't think Bengals fans are going to be angry with that.
They loved having Geno Atkins, and he wasn't a big name. He was just a hard ass defender. So I like that. Seahawks at 18. A lot of directions they could go here with Matthew Golden being available, corners available. They haven't drafted a guard in the first three rounds since 2010. They traded down 6 times in the first round under John Schneider. 4 of 12 first round picks have been tackle under Schneider as well. I think you go offensive line here. But if you look at that data, it's not going to be Gray Zabel.
That's who I'm sending him.
That's what I thought.
They need it. He's the perfect fit. Just take him. I can see Gray Zabel. Dude, I can see Ballard taking Gray Zabel to just take over for Ryan Kelly. He'd been so much on the testing and stuff. Gray Zabel tested through the roof. I'm sending him to Seattle. Just the need is there. This is exactly the wheelhouse of where I always thought that he was going to fall. I've always said he's going to go, you know, top 20 type of player. I think it's perfect.
And remember, so North Dakota State connection, you brought up Chris Ballard there. I know we're talking about the Seahawks here, but they drafted Joe Haag in 2016 from North Dakota State. They also had Carson Wentz from North Dakota State. So Gray Zabel, I bet they've sniffed around. That's probably going to be one of the guys they're considering because they have to consider offensive line with Indy. But Seattle at 18 takes Gray Zabel, according to Alex. 19 with the Bucks. I think you're going to go Jahad Campbell, linebacker. Yeah.
They just have to. They don't even have another starter next to Levante David.
So it's just wide. Is it really just wide open like that?
They have Servacier.
Servacier Dennis?
Yeah.
He's a little bit of a dog.
Is that his last name? I think. I think that's what it was. No, they don't even have another starter. They're gonna take Jahad Campbell. Everybody says that it's like, I know it stinks. You go to go inside linebacker first round, but she's like, you gotta do it.
All right.
Next up, Broncos at 20.
Okay, on to 21. Omari Hampton went 20 to the Broncos, and 21. Okay.
Here's where it could be bad. I'm sticking with my guns. I said I'm going to stick with my conviction. I think, dude, the Steelers need a quarterback. I think that Tomlin kind of likes Shedeur Sanders. I think if he falls to here, I don't think they would trade up for him. But I think they say, like, if he falls, we'll go ahead and take Shedeur.
I agree. I think it's Pittsburgh, or it's a game of chicken between, you know, the Giants or Browns to trade up. Question from a, you know, it's a game. I know, and this is what we think, and this is what the research we've done has told us, but it's a game. Do you think that you give yourself better odds by just getting that Eagles pick out of there or the Vikings pick out of there, two teams that are likely to trade down? Do you think it gives you better odds in this tournament to get one of those two teams out and to get one of the Browns or Giants in just to get you another shot at connecting the quarterback, like regardless of spot, regardless of the Giants drafted, picking up to 26, 27, 24, 32, doesn't really matter. It's more about, do you think that you give yourself better odds by doing that?
Well, I do have a trade occurring here in a few picks.
All right. But I'm just saying, I'm talking about the Shedeur thing here. So,
but how would the Shedeur thing help?
What I'm saying is I know we're connecting to the Steelers right here.
Yeah.
But hypothetically, what if the Giants traded up to, like, you know, 16 or 15, or they traded down from 3 to 10 or something, right? And that was the play. They were going to trade down or trade up and get him, and he never makes it to the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's a game, you don't have to have the spot right. You just got to have the player to the team right, right? So you could just, you know, if we innately think that the Vikings or the Eagles or both are going to be done, they're going to drop out of the first round, do you think it gives you a better advantage or better odds by just at least getting in the Giants or the Browns into round one and getting that dart thrown onto one of the quarterbacks? Does this make sense? Or this is kind of 4D chess going on here in my head, that you're getting the extra dart on the player. Pick doesn't matter. You're like, it's either going to happen at 10, 14, 27, doesn't matter.
I've already used my Shedeur Sanders dart and attached it to Pittsburgh, though.
I understand that, but that's not what I'm asking. I'm saying you did this, but I'm saying if. I said, do you think that it might give you a better advantage in the tournament if you at least get that team up, get the Giants up, and attach them to Shedeur because you think that that might be the attachment?
Regardless I just, of – I just still don't understand. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm just slow today.
No, you're good. I understand. I'm explaining it very goofily. And like people that are listening probably don't quite get it because the way the contest is developed is it's player to team. You get points. And then it's just having the player in the round. You get the points. And so what I'm saying is the Vikings and Eagles are likely to trade down and out of round one because the Vikings have four picks and the Eagles have historically traded down.
Yeah.
So we can assert the thought that potentially the Giants should come up or the Browns come up.
For who?
If you do, it's for quarterback. Okay. Right? It doesn't matter if they trade up to 14 or 10 or 27, but you're getting them in and they're taking the quarterback.
Yes, but I'm going to have a trade up. Yeah, I think that's – yeah. But it's not going to be either of those teams. So with the next pick here – I think so. Shadur to the Steelers with the next pick here to the Chargers. He's fallen too far, but I think you know who I'm going to pick here for the Chargers.
Colston Loveland.
Yeah, Colston Loveland, Michigan man. Maybe I'm relying on these Michigan man narratives too much here in this one. We discussed 23 yesterday. I'm sticking with it. Packers.
All right, Packers are going to go. Will Johnson.
I'm sending him Jahdae Barron.
Oh, Jahdae's still there. Oh, crap. Yeah. Good call.
Yeah, I'm going to send him Jahdae Barron. I feel like he's falling too far in this thing, and we talked about it yesterday. They passed on Cooper DeJean. Probably shouldn't have. Forgot who they took instead. Who did they take instead of him?
Javon Bullard.
Is that who they took last season?
Well, they took
I've already forgotten about that.
They took the tackle, right?
Let me just look. Hold on.
Packers took Jordan Morgan at 25.
Yeah, Arizona.
Yep.
Okay. So I haven't taken Jahdae Barron. Okay, pick 24. So I have the Saints trading up here with the Vikings. The Vikings only have four picks in this draft. And if you look at 24 on the Jimmy Johnson trade chart, at least it is set. It's 740 is the value here for this pick. If you look at New Orleans picks, they have number 40, which is worth 500, and number 71, which is worth 235. So that's 740 versus 735. I think that's a fair deal. I think. What do you think? I mean. You've been a Minnesota fan since you were a little kid. Like, do you think that they would take that?
Yeah, I think they'll move down. I think they'll move down, take something. And the Saints on the opposite side have traded up six times in the last 10 years. So I could 100% see this happening.
So it's like everything lines up. And it also lines up with the fact that we've heard from Schefter and Underhill that the Saints prefer Jackson Dart anyway.
And so here's the cool thing. Is that you have the – I know people have attached quarterback to them at nine. It's like they could – There's a universe out there, and I know the Saints wouldn't trade back up to get like a Mykal Williams, but there's a universe out there where Dart could go nine and Mykal could go 24 type of a situation.
Yeah.
There's a universe. There's – you know, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but there's
– So I got the Saints going there doing that. 25 Texans, where do you think I ended up?
Interior offensive line.
Yep. Booker? Sticking with my conviction.
Booker or Donovan Jackson?
Booker.
Okay.
Tyler Booker. Look, D'Amico Ryans loves Alabama. They love what they love the Will Anderson stuff. Casario loves the Will Anderson stuff. But I just think it's this, you know, he won like the Mr. All American culture guy battle of this draft. And this is a team that hated their offensive line, the culture of that room so much that they shift off Laremy Tunsil and Kenyon Green. I think it's a perfect pick here. Rams at 26.
Will Johnson or Matthew Golden?
I sent him Matthew Golden.
Okay.
And I think that, you know, I can't get it. I can't get it out of my head. Like I was thinking of Texas Pro Day. I'm like, who is Les Snead here to see?
Probably Cam Williams, but he didn't do anything. Quinn and Golden.
Right.
Golden. Maybe Gunnar Helm.
Right. Well, but typically.
But the GM's also not going to fly across the sea.
GMs don't take one-off trips to go see fourth round guys.
It's probably Quinn and Golden, yeah.
I think Golden fits really nicely there for what they can do. We haven't seen him be used with that 4.29 speed as a clear out guy for guys like Davante Adams and Puka Nacua. But man, they run a lot of 11 personnel. They lost DeMarcus Robinson, didn't they? And doing my research, I think that I think Matthew Golden, he probably goes earlier than this, but if. I think it's a culture fit too. Matt Golden's a great, great guy. They already have Whittington there. Not that they played together, but anyway. So yeah, I'll be sending Matthew Golden here from Texas to the Rams. All right, Ravens at 27.
Ezeraku.
James
Pierce.
I'm going with the Harrison stuff that we talked about yesterday.
Oh.
Adding speed to the cornerback, adding speed on speed whenever you're talking about those corners.
All right, Shamar Stewart then to the Lions.
Shamar Stewart to the Lions. Yep. And I feel like they're going to feel like they just robbed the bank, dude. They're going to be smiling like the cat that just ate the canary.
29. I think we talked about Ezeraku yesterday to the Commanders, so I'm going to go Ezeraku to the Commanders.
Yep, and I love it even more after the McShay report today sent out something. One of his little tidbits was that he said, call it a hunch or call it a little birdie, but I feel really good about this one. So,
McShay. All right, Bills at 30 then.
Yeah.
Well, all the Bills people I talk to want D-tackle here. The problem is there's not really a clear D tackle.
Nope.
Not going receiver. Will Johnson.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
I mean,
that was tough. I was like, gosh, this
makes a ton of sense, right?
God, that was a tough one. I like that.
So, that's where we're going to go there with them. Will Johnson falls, and I think it's fine to say that he falls. Okay, last two, Chiefs.
James Pierce.
No.
Donovan Jackson.
Yeah, again, man, like it's another one. I'm not getting away from it. I'm not. They need offensive line help, and they need versatile offensive line help. They can't lose a Super Bowl again because of the offensive line. They can't do it. They got to fix it. Tell me that that's not just scarred into their mindsets at this point.
Of course it is. And Tooney was a versatile guy. Donovan Jackson is going to be that. All right. You going to get us out of here on this Eagles pick at 32?
Yeah. Look, man, here's the thing. I know that they probably need to help with replenishing some along the defensive line, but you've said – and this could be an easy trade-out spot, right? But you've said it best. They don't really have a hellraiser defensive tackle here that you could take that you probably couldn't take a little bit later. So I think that trading out's a distinct possibility. But if they're here and they're picking, you got Cooper DeJean last year that gives you some nickel / corner / safety versatility. Tell me that you couldn't just completely nuclearize the back end of that defense, especially after losing CJ, right? By going ahead, going back to the well, going ahead and taking a guy that's going to be at the NFL draft in attendance, go right back down there to the University of Georgia, get one of the get another one of them dogs, and go with Malachi Starks.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.